Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Okay. We're in. So the Snowcast has made it. We've made it onto the Guinness media list. Thursday?
Thursday,
Guinness invited the Snowcast to attend a media event for the launch of Guinness 00. So we're going to chat a bit about that tonight and what happened. So anyway, welcome to the Snowcast. This is Owen, as always, joined by DJ Walsh. DJ, how are you getting on, kid?
Good, yeah. Looking forward to trying this Guinness 00 and seeing what it tastes like and then tucking into some real drink with some alcohol in it.
And just so that we can clarify, you have been partaking in alcoholic drinks already tonight.
Yeah, I've had a few.
Not gonna lie.
We call it spade a spade. And we were very giddy today as well. We had a giddy day in work. I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes because we fuck all planned.
Exactly. And also on the call, so we're back on the Zoom as well tonight, we have Tommy Keary from Antiques Ireland and the Irish Design Podcast. Tommy, how are you getting on?
Well, that's good, thanks. Thanks for having me on again.
Any news stories that have tickled your fancy?
Not majorly now, no.
No comment.
Would you believe?
You mean to say, Tommy, that you're not engrossed by fungi going missing?
No, I've got a good few memes about it, though, that have been keeping me going. Some very lighthearted ones and some very, very dark ones.
Yeah. Follow the Irish Design Podcast on Instagram for some fungi memes.
Yeah, we'll do a fungi special.
Yeah. Yeah. Instagram live.
Yeah.
I suppose we'll start off with, what are you drinking tonight? Tommy, I'll go to you first. What are you drinking?
Yeah, so I'm drinking, this is a really random one, but my father went to a friend's house during the summer and he got really engrossed by this beer called Perlenbacher, and he bought an absolute fucking load of it. It's in a Lidl.
You're the second person in about 48 hours to tell me about Perlenbacher.
Yeah, and, it's actually beautiful.
You have to get it.
I think you just have to go and buy it and just drink it, because this is only my second time having a bottle. And the first time was grand, but it's actually really nice. It's a bit like Peroni, I suppose you could say.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Is it gassy though? I always find Peroni a bit gassy sometimes.
Yeah, no, it's grand.
Cool.
Dirt cheap as well, apparently.
Yeah, that's what you really want. And DJ, what
is Guinness Zero? The mind I need is Guinness 0-0. You want the dirt sheet pearling lacquer.
Yeah. It's like that old college request, like, what's your strongest, cheapest drink?
Yeah. That was like my father walking into Lidl.
Yeah. Up to the main counter.
Yeah.
Coming out of the Tesco wilted, not knowing if you have vodka or painting or in the bottle.
Oh yeah, what's the difference, really? DJ, what are you on tonight?
Well, obviously, we have the Guinness 0-0 that we're going to look into in a bit more. But we went to the plinth today, Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And we said we'd knock in. And usually we look at the top shelf for the, speaking of the good deals on beer. Like, we normally go to like the craft beer plinth and look at the top shelf for the five. There's five for 16 usually. But you got down on your haunches and were making some very orgasmic noises from the far side of the plinth today. So I followed you around to see what the fuck was going on. And you were looking at the expensive beer, and I said, fuck it, I'd crouch down and see what was there. And there were some very cool beers there. So what I'm actually going to talk into after we do the tasting of the Guinness is, and I've actually kept the cool beers for the episode. I drank all the other stuff there beforehand. But I this pineapple deeper for Yellow Belly onto the breach. So it's I haven't started it yet. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll give you an update after the Guinness 0-0. But looking at the ingredients, like, they've got some serious hops in this, and it's 7% and it's a 440ml can. So, like, yeah, I'm getting plastered tonight, so I'm really looking forward to swallowing this.
Excellent. And
I have another Yellow Belly lined up after that, then Metal Beer Solid. So I'm gonna enjoy these tonight. I really am. I'm gonna fucking really tug into them.
So yeah, so that's what actually got me down on my haunches was that Metal Beer Solid. Like, oh my god, what fucking artwork for a can. It's so cool. Like, I tweeted it out earlier on my own personal account, because there's a guy that myself and Tommy went to school with, and he would have been really big into PlayStation, and still is actually. And I tweeted it to him, and he was just like, oh my god, yes, this is fucking amazing. So yeah, that was like, what, like, You can say what you want about, like, tasting beer, but, like, you're not picking up a can unless it appeals to you. Like, you know, like, the artwork and the marketing.
Just how big a part it plays now.
Oh, it's huge. Beer, like, it's absolutely huge. Like, and, like, even, so I'm drinking at the moment, I'm drinking this, it's called Wicklow Wolf's Apex Tiramisu. And it's a tiramisu oatmeal stout. And it's part of their endangered species, and it's an 8%er. But it's really nice, like, really kind of like has a kind of like sweet caramelly kind of taste to it. And it is lovely. But again, like, the can that it was, it's just like, it looks premium. The can is just like, it has that kind of the Wicklow Wolf. Like, their class artwork with the wolf with the Wicklow Mountains and stuff in the background. But it has like, it just has like all this kind of like silver effect on it. And it just looks really cool. And I got another one as well. It was another one of that endangered species, but like, I got totally swayed into it because they were like, this is like one of 2000 only cans that have been produced. And it has like the can number. Like, I think I got like can number 872. Like I'm not going to be keeping the can for like you swear it was like a fucking like posh vodka or something, or a pristine whiskey or something like that I was going to be keeping, like, you know. But I got totally roped in by it as well, and I'm proud of myself as well. So I'm drinking the Apex Tiramisu. But yeah, as I said at the top of the show, that we were invited by Guinness to a Guinness media event. DJ, I might ask you how did we get on with Guinness and what you thought of that event?
Yeah, like I suppose everything Guinness do marketing wise, it was polished and very well put together. And yeah, it was great. The only problem was it was fucking 11 o'clock on a Thursday. So
I was kind of dealing with Guinness to kind of get to sort out the invite and sort out a few things, but I had texted DJ to say, oh man, are you ready? Because they hadn't announced that it was an alcohol free beer that they were sending us. So I was like, oh man, are you ready? This Thursday, 11 p.m., we're going to fucking hit it. We've a beer tasting going on at 11 p.m. on Thursday night. I hope you're ready for whatever. He's like, oh yeah, can't wait. About 2 minutes later, like, reread the email, like 11 a.m. Like, I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, we're in the middle of work here. But so tuned into the event, and like, as you say, like, really, really polished. Even like the hosting quality, like you could tell it was, you know, hosted by like an audiovisual company. They all had like their proper, like, were set up in like a proper background, like clear as day camera and stuff, like, and had like one person had like kind of like a load of pigeonholes behind them with like loads of like pint bottles of Guinness slotted into it and stuff. And then like someone else I think had like kegs or something behind them, like, but it was all like really, really like polished, as I say, like it was just really well done. And then, like, you know, they had, as I said, like all the kind of the stories and shit like behind it as well, like that they were talking about. So yeah, it was really, really, it was like for our first media event, like, I think it was a really good one to kind of to go to, like.
Yeah, but I think as well, like, it was hosted by a guy who I think listens to the podcast, actually, Pádraig Fox. Shout out to Pádraig. And again, like, you know, it was really good because it was hosted, it was set up really well, it was really well polished. But in fairness, like, they kept it very informal.
Yeah,
You know, which was great. It was a chat, and it was a, like, what do you think of the branding? Here's the brewing technique, here's how we did it, which was all very interesting. Like, from an early point of view, I was fascinated as to how they would maintain, you know, a Guinness-like texture without having to, obviously, how do you remove alcohol? Because they said that they went down the process of basically making Guinness and removing alcohol at the end. And how do you do that without adding heat to a nitro stout, which is a recipe for disaster? So, you know, I think they do it by like really cold filtration, which is just really interesting from an early kind of technical point of view as well. And again, like that, you know, they were tasting at the time. And like you say, we kind of just could put it on in the background and work. And it was really cool listen. But we didn't get to taste it. So should we taste it?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. So yeah, that was the whole thing, was that it was like a virtual tasting event. So you were meant to kind of listen to the guys talk about it and then taste it. And then they were kind of explaining the tasting and stuff like that. So obviously we didn't get a chance to carry that out. So we're going to carry that out right now. Tommy, you won't be with us.
I just keep it to the Perlin backer.
Yeah, you can compare the Perlin backer with it.
Yeah, we'll come back to you later. but they like, just straight away, like on the can, like, and again, on like the one thing that Diageo do better than anyone is the marketing, and the can is like really well polished. It has this blue throughout it, and the 0.0% is in blue. St. James's Gate, Dublin, Ireland is in blue, and it's got blue bordering on the top and bottom. And they said that the original tap, the first ever Guinness tap, was blue, and that's why they did it. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I'm not sure. But again, it just looks, you know, like, it does look sleek, like, you know, it is good.
It kind of matches in, though, like, you know, even if that is the story behind it or whatever, the story that they've kind of joined up with it, like, it does kind of match the Heineken 00, like, where they've kind of added in that hint of blue into, like, you know, from their green and red primarily colors, that they've added the blue into the Heineken 00. So, like, it kind of does kind of fit it, like, you know, and as well, actually, even if you see in like supermarkets and stuff, you know, they have like the 0.0 like alcohol free sections now, like some of the fridges kind of have like their white fridges with like that blue alcohol free writing. Like, so it all kind of like links in. So you would kind of suppose like pick it out as an alcohol free beer, but yeah, you can hear the widget inside it as well. So it has like kept the widget.
For the nitrogen release, yeah. Here, just before we do this, right? What way are you gonna go about the pour? Are you gonna dunk, or are you gonna pour at an angle?
I'm gonna angle it, yeah.
Right, yeah. I dunk, and we'll see if there's any difference.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
You ready?
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Pouring Guinness into my lovely white gypsy glass that Tom Ryan gave me.
Gonna win.
Well, half mine has gone on the floor anyway.
Well, sure, it's not. That's the only place for her.
Yeah. It's like you're back in the pub.
Yeah, we'll never fucking end up being invited to a Guinness event ever again.
Now, there's not a great head on it, but that could be also me, like. And I'll leave it settled.
It was settled for a minute there. It didn't take any time at all for mine to settle there.
Okay.
And Tommy's man.
It actually looks pretty good, in fairness. I'll show it to you there now.
That looks all right, yeah.
So,
right.
Point again.
It smells pretty like good. Guinness.
I assume they're going to serve it in the glasses, in the 0.0 glasses in the bars, are they? So you can
tell
the difference.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. But
what if you want a snaky one,
yeah.
Suppose you just be begging him. Go on, please.
Please. Well, how'd you get on?
It tastes like the taste is similar. But it's a different texture and it's a little bit sweeter.
Do you think that you could drink a few?
Oh, like you could drink it all night, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's not as bitter, is it?
No, but it's still coffee.
Yeah.
There's still that coffee note, like, but it's, do you know what? I'd say this, right? And I actually, a lot of the fucking Twitter reaction and social media reaction was, oh, 2020 strikes again, like Guinness without alcohol and all this kind of stuff, right? Which, yeah, is funny, like, and it's a good joke. But I actually saw a lot of people reacting, like, basically, I saw a couple of people, like, you know, I saw, say, Muslim people who don't drink alcohol really excited about this. And I think, like, you know, when the Virgin Mary pub opened in Dublin, a lot of people were saying that people who don't drink can be stigmatized out of drinking and, it's good for them to be able to socialize. So I think it's a really, really good thing, first of all, because it looks like Guinness, it tastes like Guinness, the texture is slightly different, but who cares? Only the person drinking it will know that. So it won't look completely out of place as opposed to like a bottle of Heineken 0.0 and around the pints, you know. I think it's a really good thing. And I think a lot, like, you see an awful lot of people who you wouldn't think of who would want this product and who are delighted that it's there. I saw people saying that, like, you know, I would love a pint of Guinness without alcohol in it if I was driving. Like, I'd still love that feeling of sitting at a bar with a pint of Guinness, even if it's without alcohol. So it's a fucking very good thing, and it's very drinkable there. Like, it went down very easy.
I tell you what, it's not bad at all. It's actually fucking nice. Like, it's actually, like, you wouldn't, like, unless you're, like, properly gone tasting it, like, you wouldn't know the difference. Like, yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, there is that like bit of texture difference, but like, and it is a little sweeter. But yeah, I'd be happy now to, like, especially because I've kind of gone down the Heineken 0.0 route, like, for a few things, but like, Now, I've only had a few sips of this, so I can't attest to its gassiness, but I always get very gassy off the Guinness or the Heineken 00. And yeah, no, I definitely would. I'd go for that now if I was driving or whatever, or if I was trying to like keep up with someone or something.
You're drinking with Tom Fitzgerald for that.
If I was drinking with Killer or someone, I might.
Toe to toe.
You're necking them, Tab. You're necking them.
Yeah.
In fairness, now I they've done a good job. To be fair to them, I do think like that gassiness associated with like alcohol-free lagers and stuff is a problem. I don't think the taste is right with them. Like, you know, whereas with this, the taste is right. The texture is just a little bit off. But like, you don't give a fuck if you're out for the night, you know, and you're driving or. You know, like if you're on antibiotics, for example, you know what I mean? Like, and you're worried about that or whatever it is, or you have to stay off drink for a couple of weeks for whatever reason. Like, it's great that you could go to a pub and have a couple of pints of Guinness and not have to worry about that. So, very positive about it, to be honest.
So Gavin McCarthy on Twitter asked us earlier on, what do you reckon, lads? So your final verdict on that, DJ, is... Two thumbs up.
I'd say like out of the macro breweries is the best non-alcoholic one I've tasted, to be honest with you.
I'd agree. Yeah. No, fair play. And this isn't the like fucking hashtag sponsored by Guinness thing or anything.
No, they sent us a can each. That was it.
Yeah. We'll give them the 150 back. Like,
yeah. The Mildred bastards wouldn't even send us like a box each. But in fairness, now it's very good. And like, yeah, we're not sponsored by Guinness at all, clearly, because you know we have an episode that's titled "Is Diageo the Devil." So like, I think we can't be accused of biases here. And it was cool to get invited to the press release. You know, it was good to see how these things are done and to see how the innovation brewer, I think, was the woman's title, job title, to see her talk about like different techniques and stuff. So it was good, like, and it was very interesting. And like I said, it's great that there's a product there for that cohort of people now that is very mainstream and will give a similar drinking experience, just without falling over themselves afterwards.
You say this now, but at the event, we weren't as insightful at all. We didn't bring up as good a point. So I don't know. I actually, there must have been what, about maybe 30 or 40 people on the stream, was it?
I have no clue how many.
Yeah, I think about that. Like, and you know, there's a few kind of like a few of those kind of like news media sites and stuff that were around where I spotted them on it and stuff. And you could see that like a few of those gave the write ups or whatever. They were all kind of asking these like very good questions about maybe the marketing and how the blue that we're talking about there and where that came from and how great that was and what was the alcohol extraction technique. But I wasn't too content with asking that. So I decided that what might be the best question to ask the head brewer was, what's your favorite Halloween film? I think one of the worst possible answers that could ever be given was given for a Halloween film, where he said Jaws. So like who in the name of God would pick Jaws as their Halloween film? Like, I suppose I get it in the fact that it's somewhat scary in parts, but like, again, does horror and Halloween actually have to equate to one another? Like, do you know what I mean?
No, go on, Tommy. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's when you say that, because I was only thinking when people say, oh, Halloween, you have to think of something that like has to traumatize you. But like, I remember when I was a child, know the film Bed Knobs and Broomsticks?
Oh, yeah.
That used to freak me out big time. When the bed was going, like when the bed was moving and everything, the whole room was, that used to really freak me out. Do you know? So,
Do you know what's another fucking freaky scene is, you know, in the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, when they go down through the tunnel?
Oh,
Jesus Christ, that scares the shit out of me. Like, we are never knowing which way that we are going. Fucking hell. Oh my God. That thing is fucking so scary.
I think it's a good question though, because like I think you definitely have to, first of all, it's like obviously the definition of a Christmas film is highly contentious. I think the definition of a Halloween film is less contentious because no one really gives a shit. But yeah, like, you know, you're not sitting at home for a couple of days watching Halloween films, are you? Like, it's kind of just done and dusted. But I think like for me, a big contentious question is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween or a Christmas film?
It is it's most definitely a Christmas film.
So you say that, but there's literally a song in the film that says this is Halloween.
Like, yeah, it's literally the first song, and then it goes like transitions. So like 5% of the film is Halloween, and then 95% of it is all about Christmas. It's pretty much like The Grinch, like, isn't it? But like,
you're fucking drunk on Heineken, or you're drunk on Guinness Zero. That's what you are. No, I think that is one of the classics, but for me, like the one that I keep coming back to, the one that I probably watched the most as a kid was Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah, that is quality. That is a great, great film, yeah.
And it's actually a Halloween film, unlike Jaws.
Yeah, I think that is probably the right answer for this question. Like that, it's one of those like teenagey Nickelodeon-esque films where, and like I actually think at the time it was a big box office flop, and then it just got a big cult following because I think it was the fact that it was so cheap to buy it because it was such a box office flop that that like TV stations were able to buy it really cheap, so ended up showing it every Halloween then. So then everybody then was just like, fuck, this is great, because actually it is a great film.
All the miserable Irish parents buying that in tape instead of buying a good film.
I know, exactly, yeah. I have another question for you, right? So is Ghostbusters a Halloween film?
No, it's just a comedy film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comedy, I'd say, yeah.
Okay.
I'd say like it's like for me, Halloween is not about being scary. It's about like it's about children's folklore more than anything else, and stories and shit. Like, you know, so that's why I think like you obviously Hocus Pocus is the obvious one, but it's about witches. But like the likes of Casper. Do you remember the Casper that came out?
That was a good one.
It was one of the first that kind of like one to use CGI and for to project the ghosts and stuff, and like that, it wasn't scary, but it was like based on Halloween and based on ghosts and ghouls and shit like that. Whereas I think like, you know, if like What Lies Beneath or the Blair Witch Project or something like that, you know, like they're scary films, they're in the horror genre, but they're not Halloween films. You know what I mean? So like, I think Halloween has to encompass, like, it has to be watchable for a 10-year-old child.
Do you think then that Halloween has become a bit more, I'm just making up this word, but adultized?
No, we're just adults now as opposed to like teenagers and children. I think that's probably what it is. Like, instead of watching Hocus Pocus on Halloween, you're going to like a fucking night out, a dress-up party, where instead of dressing up as like I don't know, a fucking goblin. Like, people are going dressing up as, like, you know, Britney Spears, but she got stabbed in the arse or something. You know,
like, yeah, get the arse out.
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. Or, you know, I think that's probably what it is. It's just we're at a different point in our life. But I think fundamentally, like, if your question is what's a Halloween film, like, I think it has to be a children's film, like, ultimately.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I just think that maybe, like, that whole horror association that's come into Halloween has been, like, you know, these kind of, like, horror movie marathons and stuff that are being played on TV and things like that, that are more so like adults trying to nearly rob, like, Halloween from kids, like, when it is actually just like a fucking kids holiday, like, that you just go out and play trick or treat or whatever.
But yeah. I'll tell you what I fucking hate about Halloween.
Well,
I'll tell you what I hate about Halloween. I think Tommy, you might have some fucking serious thoughts on this, maybe not. I hate this shit, like, spiced pumpkin lattes and fucking this nonsense around Halloween. You know what I mean?
That's autumnal. That's harvest. That's harvest time there.
He hates the harvest every year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I thought it was
Halloween. Get back out in the fields.
Yeah. Like, fucking, I don't know. You know the way, but you'd see it, like, with the Halloween kind of fucking decorations up around a coffee shop there or something, and they'd have, like, a spiced pumpkin latte. I always associate it with Halloween anyway. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just want a fucking coffee, like, you know, I want to function. I don't want to pay an extra €2 for a gammy tasting coffee because you've come up with a spooky name for it, like.
No, if I'm going to Starbucks, I'll get the sugariest shit I can
big possibly stupid get fucking novelty one. Yeah,
I think, like, actually Starbucks is kind of made for that, isn't it? Like, it's not like you're not going into Starbucks and getting an Americano, like, you know, because I think the coffee is shite enough anyway. Like, their whole thing is like, oh, do you want a caramel macchiato? Actually,
extra sugar.
Kira is after getting fucking so notionsy when it comes to coffee in Starbucks. What did she get there the other day? She got what was her order? A tall pumpkin spice latte with foamed oat milk. And something else was there, no cream or something like that. Like, but it literally took her about 15 minutes to say the order, like, because there's just like so many variations coming out of her mouth. Like, and like, she's dead right as well, because that's what they're built for of Starbucks. Like, it's not like you're going to a local fucking barista or whatever. That's just pouring you a nice one. Like,
it's funny, like, it's just this marketing calendar. Do you know what I mean? Like, they just literally try and ramp it up. Like, as in now, like, Halloween is like the whole month of October, whereas Christmas used to be the month of December at a push, or from the 8th of December. Now it's literally the minute that Halloween is over, it's fucking,
yeah,
all systems and, yeah, for Christmas.
They'll have all those pumpkin spice lattes out, and they'll have the gingerbread lattes in then, literally the following day then, like, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, you're dead right. What would you say are the Halloween colors? If I was to ask you, like, flat out, what are the Halloween colors? What would you say?
Orange and red.
Red.
Yeah.
Well, red
for blood.
The blood. Yeah.
The bloody pumpkin.
Yeah.
What would you say, DJ?
I just said orange and black.
Yeah, the correct answer. Correct answer. Tommy, you're on 0 points.
No, but I can see where Tommy's coming from. And I also would throw a gammy green in there as well for Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What would you think of purple? Is that in there? Is that
purple, like, yeah, has a bit of it, yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that's white. That's kind of like, I'd say black and orange are tier one, right? They're your mainstay.
Their home,
right?
Colors.
Yeah, home colors. Yeah, yeah. But the away kit might be green and purple, you know.
That's,
It's just like a Roma jersey from the mid-90s.
Roma against fucking Fiorentina. Fiorentina had the Nazi fucking symbols on the jerseys.
What do you dress up as kids when you're going out trick-or-treating? Do you have any
So we had nothing, like, so it was just the old bed sheets, the whole
bed sheets.
The
bin bag was a good one.
I had to paint on bin bag in a few years, all right.
And the origami fucking mask from Poundworld.
Yeah.
That you probably like lost 10 years off your life just inhaling the fucking
thing. I have a good one. I went trick-or-treating with a cousin of mine, around the kind of countryside in Wexford there one year, and I was dressed up as Batman, but I had for some reason I had a big long sword as well with me,
just in case
yeah. But I was going trick-or-treating around to this house, and myself and the cousin, we were kind of brought into the house. You wouldn't be doing it nowadays.
No,
but it was this kind of, I'd say she must have been a 6-year-old woman. Well, actually, I don't know what age she was. You know, when you're that young, you just think everyone's old, ancient. Like, yeah. And I must have been only about maybe like 5 or 6 myself at the time. But she was just like, "Oh, and who do we have here? Is this Batman?" And she was like, "Aren't you gorgeous, Batman?" Right? And I just whipped out the sword and just went, "Fuck off!" And absolutely led her to one with the sword.
Oh, jeez. Yes. I remember one year...
I got some bollocking off the mother then after.
Baiting out with it.
There'd be no sweets for you, you bastard. Oh, go on, Tommy. Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah, one year, but I don't know, like, this is very, you definitely couldn't do it now, or you probably shouldn't have done it then. But me and a few of the lads that lived off the road, we dressed up as the IRA, and we had like, I think we were going to go as like cowboys and Indians or something like that. That we had the guns and all ready to go, but then we decided
Found the father's balaclavas.
I think we just had that. Like I took one of my father's hats and just cut it up. But we went around the street then, going up to the door saying, "Hello, it's the IRA. Will you give us some sweets?"
Oh, for fuck's sake, that's so good.
You couldn't do that now anyway.
No. DJ, you said you were bin bagged up to the nines.
Yeah, but like, you know what? I think back to Halloween, like, you know, and like, fuck it. It was great crack and all that. And like, you've got to dress up. But I didn't give a fuck about the dressing up. It was the games I was big into.
Oh yeah,
all the old fucking head bopping and for the apple, and
you couldn't do that nowadays either.
No, I sure he'd be drowning the children, like. But then
you'd also be spreading the COVID like mad,
spreading the COVID, drowning the children. But as well, like sticking dirty coins. Do you know the way it's emerged now? Like, especially with COVID, they'd be talking about like all the different substances that could be found on coins. Did you do that where like your parents would stick like 10p and 20p into like different apples? And you head bop to try and bite the apple, and you got whatever money was in that apple. Did you do that? No.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
there was coins in the apple, is it?
Yeah, but you'd be blindfolded, right? And then you'd put your head in the water, bobbing for the apple, and like literally, your old lad would just take like a 20 pence and like absolutely like shove it into the apple through the skin. So then you. Whatever apple you took a chunk out of, that was your apple then. And you got whatever money was in that.
I don't think I was ever blindfolded bobbing for apples. Are you sure you weren't being waterboarded?
Tommy and his mates in Iraq were just waterboarding me.
He's a British agent. Yeah.
waterboarded at 10 years of age.
Shoving 20 peas on your throat.
I tell you though, I was the kind of 10-year-old would have been so unaware of what was going on around me that I probably could have been being waterboarded and thought it was a game. But yeah, there was that. Like, and I used to love the fucking candy apples as well, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I have some fierce fond apple memories from the old Halloween. Like,
so would you have gotten the candy apples, like, off the mother? Would that have been, like, an activity of home? Or would it have, or would there have been a neighbour who would have given them out? Well,
no, you'd never take a neighbour's apple. Yeah. It was like...
No, but I think if a neighbour was given an apple, I'd only just get, like, a fucking...
Oh, like...
an apple. Like, just an apple. That's all I'd be getting, like. And you'd fucking get the thing, you'd
at the window.
Yeah. Fuck it back at him.
Yeah.
That is.
I mean, I don't understand this crack of, like, giving children fucking fruit on Halloween. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, it's mostly...
Or the monkey nuts. You want
off. Yeah, well, actually...
Fist the monkey nuts.
Oh, I'm a big fan of the monkey nuts.
Yeah, the monkey nuts are the most deceptive things ever. Like, they take up half the fucking bucket, and then you'd only have like a smidgen of like actual nut in them. Like,
yeah, there's some hassle, like, to open.
There's some hassle, yeah.
But I think as well, like, what I was going to say was, like, we used to have like all the cousins meet up together, like, and you'd all just go to someone's, we usually go to my aunt's house that was in the middle of a load of housing estates because it was a bigger, like, you get a bigger kind of pull in the old fucking trick-or-treating. But it was great because, like, then you'd go back and they'd have, like, the old candy apples and a few bits and bobs and a few games and shit like that. But that was pretty much what it was. But I was thinking of something else there a second ago when you were saying, come back to me. The fucking 70% is going to my head.
Yeah, jeez, that 0-0 is fucking terrible shite. Those are maybe a few of your childhood memories, but has there been anything, like, in recent years, like, so say, I suppose probably college onwards, like, which isn't recent anymore, but I can always pretend that I'm still in college. I think, like, in college for me anyway, like, there was quality events going on, like, and it was always great crack, like, going to, like, a house session dressed up and whatever, and then tipping into town, not as much, like. It was always kind of rammed. Everyone was trying to kind of show off or whatever. It wasn't great. But I used to love the house parties, like, where you just fucking tip around mouldy in just wearing ridiculous gear, and everyone kind of, like, lost that kind of, like, bit of inhibition about themselves as well. Like, it was really, like, I don't know. I had a really good time at some house parties. Dressed up as Kiss one year. And what else did I do? Oh yeah, I did Damo and Ivor. You know, I did Damo from Damo and Ivor. That was a good one as well. Like, yeah, but yeah, sure. You have the guards call everything to the house. I heard there was one in my house in UCC. The guards called and I was dressed up as your man Damo. From the name of my wife, so I just looked like an absolute scumbag, and I was like, called out to the guards, like, yeah, an absolute sexy scanger. And I called out to the guards, and they were like, "What are you up to?" Like the bass, like, the house was literally vibrating, like, from the volume of the speakers. I was like, the guards were like, "What are you at, lads? We ever fucking just shut this thing down?" And, like, do you know, like, when there's a house and it's literally rammed full of people, that there's like 100 or so in the house, and you're like, sure, like, I can't control this at all. And they're like, but do you live here? And I'm like, yeah, but, like, it's been taken over by the others now. Like, I'm only a participant in this.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
it, exactly. So, yeah. I think then they asked me for the number of my landlord, like, you know, and
I think I gave him the phone number of one of the lads I went to primary school with. I hadn't spoken to in absolute years. So I hope he got that. Hope if he's listening, Andrew, I hope they ran
you.
they never caught me anyway afterwards. Tommy, do you have any from recent years? Any good events?
Don't need any majorly ones, but I remember up in Limerick every year, like it was very trendy. Some things are just very trendy to. I remember one year, a load of people dressed up as babies because, like, those man grows, do you know, like the full size.
Oh, yeah.
They were in pennies that year. I remember, like, everyone, like, it was just like the handy, like, go to costume.
Yeah.
You know, there's just heaps of lads.
That was like when we went over to New York, Tommy, and we just decided to put on a pair of scrubs and just go as doctors because it's literally the handiest thing that we could get. Like, we went to like a nursing needs, wasn't it? We actually got like proper scrubs. We went to a few costume shops and like it was ridiculous money and. Mm. Everything was sold out because we were going buying on Halloween. We were going at like 5 p.m. on Halloween to buy a costume.
Yeah.
And then we ended up just going to Nurse in Needs and getting a few fucking scrubs. That was ideal though. It was the most comfortable fucking Halloween I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, no, it was grand. It was handy.
DJ, you? Any recent stories?
To be 100% honest with you, like Halloween just passes me by for the last 5-6 years. Like just, I don't know what it is. I'm always seem to be fucking working or something, or you know, like it's just passed me by. Whereas like, I think thinking back to college, like I don't think I ever made much of an effort, and I was always kind of just on the beer early in the day, and I remember dressing up as a pirate one year where I literally just put on, had like an old pair of jeans, a checked shirt, and then I had the waistcoat from like Debs, and I put on like a bandana and an eye patch.
Still at the Debs waistcoat.
Still at the Debs waistcoat. I'm wearing it now. And actually, I just
you went up the aisle with that, didn't you? There,
yeah.
Andy,
I'm taking off. And there was another year where, like, in our class in college, like I'm 6'4", 6'5", and there's another guy who's the same height. So I stole his lab coat, his name badge, and spray painted my hair red. Ken Howitt, shout out to Ken. And I just went as Ken for Halloween because it was just minimal effort. I just got like orange hairspray in a fucking joke shop or something. And I was never one for making much of an effort. Like you were always top notch in your costumes and dressing up Halloween like and that. But like I just don't have that creative gene in me to fucking pull off a good costume. And I'd always think about it like it would literally be 2 o'clock on Halloween and I'd be in the pub and I'd be like, fuck, I don't have a costume.
Yeah. I love the thing about Halloween though, is just that like someone come along in an absolute like muck costume, like nobody bats an eyelid either. Like, you know, it's just like you're here, like you've actually put on something. Like I think it's the lads that come, like, especially when everybody's dressed up and then someone just comes in a fucking check shirt or something. You're like, just dressed up for a night out and they're just like, you're the Wally here now, like
yeah.
Yeah, there was one day, there was one Halloween. I think it fell on a Saturday or Sunday, and the Monday was a bank holiday. When we weren't long out of college, we were only maybe so like I had a small bit of money, but like I get like that now was meeting people in town at like 12 o'clock for a few pints, and I went in, and I forgot about a costume again like that. I was just like in my head I'd sort it out. And I got into town and like, I'm never cold, so I was wearing just a t-shirt and a jeans and a pair of like Vans shoes. I had like no idea. I was skinny at the time as well, so I had like no idea what I was going to do. And I was passing a novelty shop again, like, and I bought a wig, and I spray painted the wig green, and I just went around topless and pretended I was Jeff Hardy for the night.
Oh, God.
Pure muck, like.
That is absolutely muck. And speaking of muck, you can support the muck, the Snowcast, on patreon.com/snowcast. Yeah, there's been some good chats there tonight, lads. Quite enjoyed it. I suppose I'll throw in an ad somewhere into this along the way at some stage. But yeah, I know it's been good chatting to you, lads. And
should be out around Halloween.
Should be out around Halloween. Hopefully, yeah. We'll see what the crack is.
Spooky special.
Yeah. Hashtag spooky special. Yeah. Right. Sure. We'll leave it there. Tommy, any parting words? When's the next auction?
Monday the 7th of December. 10 a.m.
Yeah. The level 5 restrictions will be lifted. So yeah. come all.
Yeah, we're actually getting Tony Houlihan to announce the auction as well. I would say.
Yeah. celebrity auctioneer.
Yeah.
I was going to say there on as well, we're going to try and do this thing for the month of November, and we're going to call it the Candemic, where we're going to try and drink 4 cans each on each episode.
Every day.
going to be pandemonium. We're going to drink 4 cans each on each episode for 4 weeks in November, which would be 32 cans. So we want to try and drink a can from each county in Ireland. Just as the lockdown's happening and nobody's drinking draft and it's back to cans, we just want to highlight a brewery in each county. So what I'd say is, anyone listening, get in contact with us on social media for at Snowcast on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, or you can email thesnowcast@gmail.com and just fucking let us know. Like, there's counties where we want no breweries, or we want to know how to get the beer and stuff. So if you are in a county or know of a brewery in a county that we might be familiar with that we haven't mentioned on the podcast before, just let us know, get in contact, tell us and make suggestions, because we've got like 10 days to try and box this off to try and figure out where we're going to get the cans from. And we'll probably box off the handy ones first. Yeah, we spent the first few weeks doing the handy ones, but like, obviously we want to buy the can for breweries. So if you have any suggestions, we'll be welcome and open to all suggestions. Obviously, if they can be sourced in Waterford or Kilkenny or Kildare, it'll make it an awful lot easier. But just if you'd let us know any breweries that you'd like featured in our Candemic series, we'd much appreciate it. And obviously, you'll be familiar with the breweries that we love and feature quite frequently on the podcast. So we're looking to try and even try out a few new breweries. If ones haven't featured, let us know, and we'll be mad keen to talk into them.
Good stuff. All right. Sure, we'll talk to you next week, lads. Good luck.
Good luck. Good luck.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.